Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed...
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I'm an editor here at HowStuffWorks.com. Broadcasting from the seat across from me, as usual, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
You gave them all those old-time stars through wars of worlds, invaded by Mars. You made them laugh. You made them cry. You made us feel like we could fly.
Just remember, video killed the radio star.
That's true.
But for now, we are still going to talk about... radio.
Yeah, and you guys might remember, not that long ago, we did a podcast about who invented the radio, and we came up with a conclusion of, I don't know. although, actually, Chris and I both agreed that if gun were held to our heads, we would claim that Tesla was the inventor of the radio. It's just that he was not able to implement it in the same sort of scale as Marconi, whose implementation depended somewhat on Tesla's work. But
yeah, but it had gone on for some time. There were a number of people, and this happens a lot in science.
Yeah.
That their contributions made radio possible. It was sort of invented in increments, really. And of course, Tesla was a very prolific inventor. He had his fingers in lots of different pies. I'm sorry, I had to watch Jonathan's eyes glaze over when I mentioned pie. And
I'm having a little moment here.
And Marconi was really a radio guy. He really was interested in radio, so it's really kind of no surprise that he really pushed radio very hard, harder than Tesla did. And so he got a lot of the credit for it. But we were going to talk today about the invention itself.
Yeah, how radio itself actually works. And to really talk about this, first we have to understand a little bit about radio frequencies, radio waves.
Yes.
And so let's talk about radio waves first. Now, waves are – this is a complicated issue because – there are different types of waves, right?
Yes.
There are mechanical waves, which are the waves that we can observe with our own eyes through various means. Like there's, you know, if you look at an ocean and you see the waves coming across, those are mechanical waves.
Gnarly, dude.
Yes, they are in fact gnarly. During an earthquake, the earth moves in mechanical waves.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And sound travels through mechanical waves.
What?
Yeah. Now, you may not think of sound as a mechanical wave because it's not something that you can typically see, although if there is a sound loud enough, it can create a mechanical wave powerful enough to vibrate an object, so you can see that, right?
Well, you could see, if you've ever watched videos of explosions,
mm-hmm.
Especially a video shot from overhead, you can see the shock wave.
Yeah,
traveling outward from that, which is
if you watch any Michael Bay movie, amazing. The moment where the two heroes running away from the explosion leap into air and are propelled 50 feet, that is kind of what Chris is talking about.
Okay, that was an even better description than the one I had.
So. Michael Bay solves all problems.
Point to Jonathan.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, so these waves they move and there's a crest and then there's a trough. Right?
The crest being the highest point, the trough being
the lowest point. And you consider the point from the top of one crest to the top of the next crest, the wavelength of that wave.
Right.
All right. So these mechanical waves, they have to have some sort of medium to move through.
Mm-hmm.
They require that, even sound, which is why if you were to be in outer space and you were to take off your space helmet and shout to your buddy across the way, your buddy would not hear you because there is no medium there. Space is a vacuum, more or less. There are particles in space, but there's so far – there's so little – there's no contact, right? The particles in space are so far apart from one another that there's no way to propagate a mechanical wave through space.
I think we understand the lack of gravity in this situation.
Thank you. So, yeah, nature abhors a vacuum. So do I. That's why I only sweep.
Vacuum.
So anyway, you need a medium for a mechanical wave to move through. But electromagnetic waves are different. They do not require, they can propagate through a vacuum. They can move through the vacuum of space. And in fact, they will continue to move once generated forever, really.
Yeah.
So the radio waves that we generated way back when we were first figuring this out, they are now, let's see, more than around 100 light years away, because radio waves travel at the speed of light, and they, you know, the invention of the radio really dates back a century. So anything around there, anything generated at that time would now be traveling 100 light years away. It's kind of cool.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it travels at the speed of light.
Okay. Yeah.
So all those broadcasts in the 40s and 50s of the radio serials, those are now 40 to 50 light years away.
Serial.
It's Chris's weakness with cereal is like my weakness with pie.
So, don't get me wrong. I like the pie. So yeah, I mean, light and radio waves are both forms of electromagnetic radiation.
Yes.
And it's I had something I was going to say there, but I was distracted by the cereal.
I've got something here. So when we say electromagnetic, that's really important.
It is.
Now, when you're talking about a mechanical wave, you're talking about a wave in a particular alignment. Let's say vertical, you know, like okay. Waves you would see on an ocean. Electromagnetic waves are actually a pair of waves. There's an electric field wave and a magnetic field wave. Now, you've heard us talk a lot about the relationship between electricity and magnetism and how there is this interesting connection between the two.
Yes.
As it turns out, if you were to generate an electromagnetic wave, you would then have an electric field wave and a magnetic field wave moving at the same time, and each one replenishes the other. The electric field, because it's changing over time, generates a magnetic field. The magnetic field, as it changes over time, regenerates the electric field, and that's why it can continue ad infinitum out into the farthest reaches of space until it hits the end of the universe, or we start getting reruns of I Love Lucy from, you know, a billion light years away.
Yeah, I remember hearing as a kid that the shows that we watched were going to be available out in space, like people in Mars with the right equipment, of course. Theoretically, there aren't any people on Mars. I don't think there are.
I wouldn't call them people.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, if you had a TV and you were, you know, at that point, they said, if you're watching from Mars right now, you would be catching reruns of I Love Lucy. This was years ago. But I was going, really? Seriously? That's very cool. So, you know, I hadn't realized that they would do that. But on the same, by the same token, if you think about the giant radio telescopes that they use, to search for extraterrestrial life, some sign that other people are using radio frequencies, basically they're just listening to space to see if there is something. I mean, there's lots of noise.
Right. Besides, there's something that is generated in a meaningful way, as opposed to, because lots of stuff produces radio waves.
I mean, yes.
Lots and lots of stuff.
Oh yeah.
And really, like I was saying, so I was talking about the electric field and the magnetic fields that are traveling in this electromagnetic wave. The electric fields, they exert forces on electric charges. Magnetic fields exert forces on magnetic poles. So these waves can do work because they can exert force upon particular things. Mm-hmm. In the case of the electric field, of course, it's the electrically charged particles. That's the important part for radios. Without that, without the ability to do work, radios wouldn't work at all. We wouldn't be able to pick these things up. And so that's really a fundamental element that you have to understand before we can get into the mechanical and technological elements of radio. So let's talk a little bit about how we get a radio signal from a transmitter to a receiver.
Okay.
All right. So you've got a radio station. And the radio station, you are recording, or you're trying to broadcast some sort of sound signal. You are using a microphone, let's say. So let's say this is a talk radio.
Okay.
So there's a guy talking into a microphone.
I can't picture that.
Right. Yeah, it's so hard to understand when you're facing someone doing it. The mechanical waves from the sound of the voice go into the microphone. They hit a little diaphragm, which then manipulates an electric charge, creating a frequency within that electric charge, which then goes to a – I'm simplifying here.
Yeah, but oversimplifying.
But it goes to a transmitter, which then changes this electric charge into one of two different kinds of radio signals. You've probably heard of AM and FM.
Yes. Well, it's not just two, but those are the two we use.
Those are the two we use for broadcast. Yeah. For broadcast radio.
Someone will write in.
Yes, yes. I'm specifically talking about the kind of radios where you tune in to listen to music or talk or whatever. I'm not talking Citizens Band. I'm not talking any of the other kinds.
No Marine Television. Band.
So, the way you transmit information across those radio waves depends on whether you're using AM or FM radio.
Right. You have to have a carrier wave.
Yeah.
Which is a radio frequency wave that is able to hold information and take it from the transmitter to the receiver.
Right.
And basically it sort of depends on the frequency and amplitude.
Yes.
That's exactly what AM and FM are. Yeah. It's amplitude modulation and frequency modulation.
Right. So with amplitude modulation, you remember we were talking about a wave, you know, you have the crests, the trough, and from crest to crest is a wavelength. Well, the height, I guess you could say, the height of the crests or the depth of the trough, which are equivalent in the case of these waves, that is the amplitude, right? The bigger the amplitude, the taller those waves are going to look when you look at them as a wavelength.
Uh-huh.
So with amplitude modulation, it's exactly what it sounds like. You modify the amplitude to contain the information that you're transmitting. When that information is received by a radio, I'm going to skip a little bit here. We're going to go back to the middle section in a minute. But when your radio receives an AM signal, it's going to detect the height of those waves, and as the height changes over time, that's going to give the speaker in your radio the signal to move in or out. And your speaker cone, technically your speaker cone in the speaker, as the speaker cone in your speaker moves in and out, that's what generates the sound you hear. So as those waves go up and down in amplitude, and they're going to be doing this thousands and thousands of times per second, because along with the crest, trough, and wavelength, you have the frequency. The frequency is how many cycles, how many wavelengths you go through within a second. Mm-hmm. We call that, like, if it were to do one cycle a second, it would be 1 hertz, right? Mm-hmm. So a kilohertz is 1,000 cycles in a second. A megahertz would be 1,000,000 cycles in a second. A gigahertz would be 1,000,000,000 cycles in a second.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. So you're at home. The radio has detected the signal, and it's detecting the difference in that amplitude. And as that amplitude changes over time, that's what tells the speaker how to move in and out and generate the sound that you hear. Frequency modulation is different. The amplitude remains the same. It remains steady. So you don't change the amplitude. That's not what tells the speaker how to interpret that signal to turn it into sound. Instead, you change the frequency itself of the transmission, which is a little tricky because, to tune a radio, you have to tune it into a specific frequency to really pick up a good signal. So it really it keeps it within a fairly tight set of parameters. It can't go far beyond that, or else you would no longer be able to pick up the radio station. Mm-hmm. But by changing the frequency, that is a number of cycles that a wavelength goes through in a second, that's what tells the speaker how to move in and out and generate the sound you hear. Now we have to tackle the magical bit in the middle.
Okay.
You know, so we've got, you know, you've generated the sound and you've heard the sound, but what's happening between those two moments? And there's some fascinating stuff here, and we're going to get into some science. So some apologies to Robert and Julie, who would normally tackle this kind of thing, but we're going to do it. So when you generate that signal at the transmitter, you actually create an electric charge that moves up and down your transmitter antenna.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So antenna are used for two main purposes, to transmit signals and to receive signals.
Yep. And it's true, too, that the type of frequency you're using requires a different type of antenna. For example, if you're broadcasting AM versus FM,
yeah,
it requires a different antenna length.
Yes.
Because that has a lot to do with it. And if you've always wondered why, you know, I have a clock radio and it basically has an internal AM antenna, mm-hmm. but it's got an external FM antenna. And I didn't understand why until I just really didn't care to look until we were deciding to do this. And yeah, it has a lot to do with the, exactly what we were just talking about,
yeah.
or what you were just talking about, which is the ways in which the carrier wave is transmitted in these different technologies.
Yeah.
So, you know, you need a different kind of antenna to transmit and to receive those signals, depending on what you're trying to do.
And in general, a general rule of thumb is the best antenna to receive a signal is 1/4 of the length of the radio wave's wavelength. But here's the thing. AM radio, that gets big.
Uh-huh.
I mean, AM radio can be so big that it's larger than a football field.
Mm-hmm.
And so having an AM radio antenna, receiver antenna, that's 1/4 the size of a football field is not really on most people's list of home improvement projects. So there are ways around that, but that's the ideal length for a reception antenna.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you create this electric charge that's going up and down the antenna, you're using an oscillator to change the charge. So you're essentially switching the charge. You're switching voltage on and off, up and down this antenna. And that electric charge, as it changes over time up and down the antenna, that's what creates the electromagnetic wave that propagates out from the transmitter antenna.
You know, I've watched a lot of movies where, you know, you've got your giant radio antenna and these little electrical things come out the top. You mean that's not exactly right?
No, you're thinking of RKO.
You know, yeah.
The old RKO
logo. Lightning bolts.
Yeah, no, you can't see them. Although,
what?
Here's the interesting thing, though, is that you can receive electricity this way, although it's a minuscule amount.
Yeah.
In fact, that's the basis of why this ends up working. So you pump lots and lots of electricity into this antenna. We're talking about thousands of watts for an AM station.
Uh-huh.
And you are using an oscillator to move that electric charge up and down the antenna at a certain rate. And that rate depends upon what the FCC in the United States has designated as your broadcast range. you broadcast your signal that way. Now, let's say you want to pick that signal up. The electromagnetic waves move out from that antenna. They're directional. They move out in every direction, really, from the antenna. And then you are a certain distance away. You have your radio. You've got your antenna extended up. As the electromagnetic waves move toward your antenna actually can will pick up a little electrical charge, because you've got, you know, the antenna. That's the whole reason why the radio works, is that electric field is able to enact the work on an electric charge. You've got a little electric charge inside that antenna. It alters, but due to this radio wave, and assuming that you have your radio tuned to the right station, what's going to happen is the electric charge in your antenna, your receptor antenna, is going to move up and down a certain frequency. If you have tuned your radio properly, it's going to be at the circuit in your radio is going to be at a resonant frequency with that charge that's moving up and down in your antenna. Now, if you've heard about resonant frequencies, that's when you can make something essentially vibrate at an ideal frequency for stuff to go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like we've seen, you know, you might have seen a Mythbusters episode where they started talking about resonant frequencies.
Yes.
The idea being that should wind blow across a bridge at a particular frequency, a particular speed, it would create this this sort of vicious cycle that feeds into itself, where the bridge itself starts to shake apart.
Mm-hmm.
Well, resonant frequencies are a real thing. And if you do generate the right resonant frequency, you can create a larger and larger vibrations in a medium. So think of it kind of like you've got a kid on a swing.
Right.
And you're pushing the kid on the swing. If you push the kid at just the right time, the kid's going to go up higher on each swing, right? You're adding more energy into it, and you see the output as the kid goes up higher. If you push at the wrong time, the kid just ends up jerking around and falling off the swing set and crying, like I did. Thanks, Dad. Anyway, so the circuit in your radio, when you tune it, you actually alter the circuit a little bit so that it'll resonate at a different frequency. Once it hits the right frequency for the radio wave that's hitting your antenna, those little the electric charge that's going up and down your antenna will cause a larger reaction within the circuit in your radio, which is what is picked up by the amplifier and then converted into sound through your speaker.
Yeah. So, should we get into some of the other cool stuff?
Yeah.
Like,
hit me with
stereo.
Oh man, I didn't even go into stereo. I was so concentrated on, I want to make sure I can explain the science of how this radio wave moves across. It's actually really fascinating stuff. And you know what we should do before we talk about stereo?
Sure.
Crystal radio.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's the simplest kind of radio I can think of.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, when I was a kid, I probably still do in the box somewhere, a crystal radio kit.
Yeah.
When I was doing a little research, one of the things that really led to radio being functional was, the ability to, when they discovered the ability to tune a radio.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to just search for whatever. I want to be able to lock it in to detect a specific, signal. And when they developed the ability to tune a radio, that basically made what is now the radio industry possible, because you can tune into a specific station and leave it there, and it's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you have to be very careful, especially if you're the licensing group. Here in Atlanta, there are tons and tons of radio stations, and I had this problem with I had an iPod with a broadcaster that I used to use trying to play through my radio rather than, you know, hooking it up in some way physically with a tape adapter or a plug or something like that. And, you know, you have to have a certain distance between stations for the signal for the carrier waves not to bleed over and basically muddle the information in between. And I had, as I would drive around Atlanta, I would have to change the station that my iPod broadcaster was broadcasting on because, you know, it would start to enter another station, more powerful signal would start to interfere with it. And I would have to do that. So yeah, this, the crystal set is really, really basic.
Yeah.
In fact, the one I got from Radio Shack was basically, it was already hooked up, okay, so to speak. It was one of those that has the springs, and you connect the wires using the springs. And if you haven't seen these kits, basic electronics type kits, there's the board is wired underneath, and there are, very tightly coiled springs installed in the top. And to make a connection from one point to the other to finish your kit, build the radio in this case, you have wires that are not insulated on the very ends. And you bend the spring, stick the end of the metal end of the wire in, and let go. And the spring holds it into place.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I had a long wire that I would use to pick up AM signals.
Yeah, that would be your antenna.
The antenna. If you don't know what's going on, it looks sort of a lot like the other wires in the kit, but you'd have to extend it away, and a small knob that you would use to tune that. But it also had a coil of metal. It looked like an electromagnet.
Yeah, I could actually talk a little bit about that. There are four basic components of a crystal radio. These are literally the only four things you need to make the most basic AM radio. You need an antenna.
Yes.
So some sort of wire to act as an antenna.
Had that.
You need a tank circuit, which is what looked like the electromagnet to you, I'm guessing.
Yes.
You need a diode.
And
then you need an earphone of some sort.
Yes. Yeah, in this case, it was hardwired in. It was one of those putty color, 70s earphones.
And you don't need a battery. And the reason you don't need a battery is because, like I said, when you have the antenna, the electromagnetic field will cause an electric charge to move up and down that antenna on its own. You don't need a battery to create that electricity from the start. Now, the signal you're going to receive will be very weak, the closer you get to the radio station, the more powerful the signal will be, but it'll still be pretty weak. The human ear is remarkably sensitive.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to hear the transmission even if the signal itself is weak. By the way, the fact that you are able to collect in a way, or that you're able to receive electricity over the air this way, that was one thing that Tesla was obsessed about.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of broadcasting electricity. And two, you're going to find, if you do a search online, you'll find some, to call them charlatans might be too strong a word, but you'll find some people who claim that they have created a way to generate electricity transmit electricity through through broadcast using this method.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's true that you can get electricity this way, but it's on such a tiny amount that you would need a receptor antenna that would be enormous in order to receive enough electricity for it to be enough to power a light bulb even.
Yeah, it'd be basically a trickle.
Yeah, so it's more likely than not, if you see someone who says that they have this new free energy type thing where you're just going to be pulling in radio waves and changing that into electricity. And since so many things out in the universe create radio waves, therefore it's almost free energy, be on alert, because that's not exactly true. I mean, you will get electricity that way, but it won't be enough to do any real significant work. Anyway, so you've got those four basic components. So the antenna projects up. It collects the electromagnet or into the electromagnetic fields that's passing by, and then that creates the difference in charge up and down the antenna. And then you've got the tank circuit, which is a coil of wire, and it's connected at each end to the two ends of a capacitor.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a capacitor and a coil of wire. That's what a tank circuit is. And generally, the way you tune a radio is that you either alter the coil or you alter the capacitor, one of the two. Most mm-hmm. radios, they work on, you are changing one of those two elements in order to tune the radio. The diode is an interesting electrical component. I'm not sure that we may have talked about it in our Basics of Electronics podcast, but I can't remember exactly.
I want to say we did.
But a diode, it's something that allows electricity to flow one direction but not the other way.
Uh-huh.
It's like a one-way street in a way. And using that connected to the tank circuit, and then you have the earphone connected through there, that's what allows you to have the right electric signal sent to the earphone that then oscillates at the right frequency to create the sound, and then you can hear it. Although, again, it's going to be very, very faint. It's not going to be like, hey, Is that Freedom Rock, man? Well, turn it up, man. Do you remember those commercials?
Yes, I do.
No, our listeners don't.
I'm sure they don't.
Anyway.
Good for them.
Yeah. You're better off for it.
But so.
Yes. So that I just wanted to talk about that since that's the most basic. And our listeners, yes. If you're interested, you can actually go out and find components and build one of these yourselves. There are some places that sell the kits. Depending upon the electronic stores that may be in your area, you might even be able to buy the individual components and build your own AM radio from scratch that way. Now, keep in mind, again, this is a very primitive and therefore limited piece of technology, and your experience with it will depend heavily on how close you are to the nearest AM transmitters.
Right.
Because the further away you are, the weaker that signal is going to be, and it may get to the point where you just can't get enough of a signal to be able to hear the transmission.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So yeah, I had a number of other related things that I had been curious about.
Yep.
One of them was stereo, although not as much as the other. And stereo is actually fairly simple.
Yeah.
Because basically you have two microphones. You absolutely, this will be obvious really when you think about it. A stereo signal has two separate channels.
Yeah.
You know, one for the left, one for the right.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you would need more than one microphone.
Right.
And, the trick is that you have to, you know, it essentially works the same way that you have two feeds going into the box and, you know, they go from the box to the tower and through the air and back to the thing. The thing is, you have to make sure that the carrier wave is able to handle it. And for a long time, that was only possible through frequency modulation.
Hmm.
Just because it has more capacity, mm-hmm. than AM. And, you know, we really didn't talk about the frequencies used.
That's true. We talked about it in our CB radio, I think. I remember we did talk about the electromagnetic spectrum, and we talked about which parts of the spectrum were allowed for radio use.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
that was years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, you need that. That's one of the reasons why. And I know that, they promoted AM stereo some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But basically the difference being that the frequency modulation signal is able to carry more information, mm-hmm. and therefore you can do that, but you have to make it possible in the carrier wave to carry a stereo signal with more than one channel of information. You want to talk about the ionosphere any?
I was going to just mention that the ionosphere, you might wonder why at night, you can hear radio stations much further away, or
yes.
at least in the evening, late evening at dusk, you can hear radio stations much further away mm-hmm. than normal. And that does have to do with the ionosphere. And the ionosphere has its own sort of, it's like an electric mirror in a way. If radio waves of a particular frequency and wavelength hit the ionosphere, they could be reflected back down toward the Earth, and you can actually bounce a radio signal off the ionosphere and back toward the surface of the planet, and therefore it'll travel much further than it would just through line of sight.
Yeah, they discovered that in 1902. There were a couple people who were involved with that. Arthur Edwin Kennelly, who was an electrical engineer in the United States, and Oliver Heaviside from England, was a mathematician. Again, one of those situations, there seems to be a lot of that in radio where people sort of simultaneously discovered this.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a lot of information from, the article about radio in Britannica, where I picked this particular bit up. But yeah, they were the ones who, in 1902 had figured out that, you could basically transmit toward the sky and the ionosphere would refract them back toward Earth, and that would help you extend the range of your transmitting.
Yeah, it's interesting because during the daytime, the ionosphere, the electrically charged particles in the ionosphere, they don't act as a very good electrical conductor. It's only really once you hit in the early evening, that's when the conductivity actually improves. And we don't – the ionosphere, the magnetosphere, these elements of the Earth's I hesitate to use the word ecosystem, but these elements connected to Earth are still things that we are learning about today.
Sure.
So we don't have all the information on it because scientists are still really building on the knowledge that we already have. You got to keep in mind that until a little over 100 years ago, we didn't even know these things existed, mm-hmm. at least not in the way we do now.
And not in the level of detail.
Right. I mean, we knew that compasses worked, but there was, you know, our level of knowledge about the magnetosphere was limited. We didn't know anything about geomagnetic storms and how the sun can affect our own magnetosphere. So this is information that we're still building on today. But yeah, so in the evening, the conductivity improves. That's what allows the AM waves to bounce off the ionosphere and back down to Earth. FM waves, by the way, the wavelength is too small and the frequency is too high. They actually just pass right through the ionosphere. Mm-hmm. They don't bounce back down. So that's why FM stations, you aren't going to get that same effect. It's not like at night you're going to start picking up the FM station from the city, you know, 100 miles away when normally you'd have to be right on top of the city to pick it up. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. And I mean, there are a lot of differences too. I mean, you don't notice the changes at nighttime with FM so in such a pronounced fashion, at least not in my experience, as you do with AM.
Right.
There are a lot of things that you can detect. AM is a lot more finicky.
Actually, but it also has FM radio gets dirtier at night. I noticed that.
Not the programming.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking about all the songs that I hear once prime time. Okay, I'm clearly off base here. So,
but and also the direction. You know, there were in the United States clear channel stations that were given more range. You know, to go ahead and keep broadcasting full strength at night.
Yeah.
Whereas other stations were asked to back off.
Yeah.
At certain times of the day. And something else I wanted to. I know we're getting toward the end of our time. But something else I wanted to point out was if you've ever been in a car, like mine, for example, where you want to tune into an AM station and it's just a pain in the neck because you get a lot of static. Well, with FM stations, you don't have the interference from all kinds of things, like, for example, power lines.
Or lightning.
Or in some cases, I would assume it's the rebar in overpasses and stuff like that. You know, that are interfering with your signal. You'll go under something and you get that, you know, sort of thing. Maybe there are electrical wires in there, that I didn't notice, but also spark plugs. My spark plugs interfere with the AM signal.
You know, if you are in an area that has a lot of antenna, you can actually get interference because the antenna, as the electrical charge moves up and down the antenna while you're receiving, it's being created by the electromagnetic field. That means your antenna is also creating an electromagnetic field. It's a much lower powered electromagnetic field. But if there are enough antenna packed into a small enough space, that can create interference, especially for AM transmissions.
Yeah. But I have a station that I try to listen to on AM every once in a while and, you know, catch the game from the local sports team. And, apparently.
Go Braves.
Yeah. Apparently the spark plug in your car will, when it fires, it creates interference in the very high frequency range, which is the 30 to 300 megahertz range. And that's just at the right frequency to seriously irritate the AM signal and cause problems.
You know
it
what frequency irritates
it interferes
me?
With it. What's that?
That one right there. Sorry, everybody. I just blew out our listeners' ears.
That and the 60 cycle hum.
Hey, Casey, can you lower that a little bit so that they don't all write to me and complain?
Yeah, thanks.
You can just if the answer is yes, lower it a little. If the answer is no, I'll direct all emails to Casey. All right, so
there's a lot more to radio.
Yeah, tons more,
and it gets into quite a bit of detail.
Yeah, and like I said, we kind of gave the bird's eye view of the science on this. So, but it's really fascinating stuff. We do have an article on the site about how radio works. There are plenty of other sites out there that discuss radio and the technology behind it, the science behind it. There's a Center for Cosmological Physics has a great summary on it. It was for a summer program, the Yerkes Summer Institute 2002 program. But they have a PDF document that's available online. So if you do a search for cosmological physics radio wave basics, it'll tell you not just the radio wave basics, the science behind it, but also the actual basics behind radios themselves. So that's a helpful guide, and it was made for science classes who were going out and actually doing, creating their own radios and kind of explaining the science behind it. So I recommend a read of that if you want to get a little more information. And of course, like I said, there's tons of references out there on the web that you can use. So we're going to wrap this discussion up. If you guys have any suggestions for topics that we should tackle, let us know on Twitter and Facebook. Our handle there is TechStuffHSW, or you can send us an email, and that address is TechStuff@HowStuffWorks.com. Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.